could you start by telling me about your background and how you came to be director of the Nubia Museum?
I am born in Aswan, in the Nubian village just north of Aswan city. I was born to a family appreciate the heritage. And I felt when I was a child, we have our own museum at home, such kind of collection which can call it a family heritage collection. It's belong to our family's collection, that's from some of Nubian crafts. I didn't appreciate it when I was a child, but when I grown up, I know the value of the object we have, but it's not cost, it was not value a lot in a matter of money, but it was a value and its meaning to carry such heritage from generation after generation. Since then I grown up with such idea about the help of the situation. So when I went to the secondary school in Aswan city, one of our trip, it was to Luxor. All my colleagues went one of the two in Luxor. It was in the Valley of the King. I was left by my own, all left the tomb. I was by myself, all in this tomb. I felt there is some relation that led me to this tomb and what is written on. And I knew that I can read what is on. Some feelings come that I can read it and I have a connection with this reading and on this tomb. So when I graduated from the secondary school, my first choice, it was a faculty of archaeology. It was a shock to my family because they asked me, do you want me to be a lawyer?
Yeah.
So I insist on my selection and I go ahead and you know that I have to go to Cairo. So the only university has a faculty of archaeology in Cairo. So I prepare myself to live for a while. So I went to the faculty of archaeology. While I'm there, it was the project of the Salvage of Philae was going on. So during my school in Cairo University, I have been asked during the summer to make a field research. So my supervisor asked me that why you are only one from Aswan. I will ask you to do something related to Aswan. I asked him that may he recommend me to participate in the Philae salvage project. So I participated in this project as a student. So I worked during the summertime. And what was amazing during this, I have been asked in the field in Philae to wash the wall which was covered by mud. I have to go on a boat and with a brush to clean up by water the walls. So to me, I was uncovered. Something it was, you know, covered for a long time.
Yeah.
But to me, I am discovering something new. Nobody knows. Nobody did it for many years. So this create in my the idea of how to discover something.
Right. Like archaeology.
Like archaeology, yeah. Yes. So when I have been graduated, I was so lucky just I was directly a few months after my graduation to be sent by one way ticket to Awusundu. to me and Ms. Booker of Abu Simbel for two years and a half. And then I have been asked to come to work in Aswan in Victoria as a field director assistant. This was my first time to work in a field. I was working in the field of shuttle, just in Kumumbu, just a few meters just east of the Kumumbu Temple. It was a huge cemetery going back to the late burial. About 59 acres. This was my first real work. You know, that was my real work in the field. Mm-hmm. Then I learned a lot from my colleagues, and I learned a lot and more from our race. Our race, he was my first teacher in the field. I appreciate him till today that I told him that he was my supervisor and my teacher in the field. And he was so kind man, and I was so willing to know a lot, and he was so nice and trying to help me to know a lot. And he was saying, I will work in the field and I have been a field director. My supervisor left for another position, and I work by myself in the side. So I work in this field for 2 years. I discovered a lot of tools and mummies of crocodiles. And I wrote my report about it, and I published my later on my field work, and then I have been later on I have been asked, because I am the discoverer of this site, to be a scientific supervisor for the new museum of crocodile and Kumon.
Oh, right. So that was your first museum
related
position?
Yes, not open yet, but it's almost finished. And then, you know, to work in the field became a part of my life. So later on I worked in another field, just in the Tel Kumumbu. In this Tel also a lot of discovery, most of them was in Storakas, Greek, Latin, and ancient Egyptian Australopithecus. All of them have been published. And then I've been asked to be a field director of one of the big sites, and the new site had been digged by, you know, before it was Nagar Hagar, a late Roman fortress and palace I discovered in this place. This was my treasure. To discover myself also, and to show myself to the world and arena of the archaeology field. So since this discovery, I have been well known, and my publication, it was worldwide and translated to many languages. Then I continue my work in the field until I have been obliged for the Nubian Museum. I have no idea about the museum field and museum work before, but I was so lucky to be in the summer of 1992. I applied to one of the Fulbright scholarship. It was individually. I applied for this application, and I was surprised that I won the scholarship. It was about 8 weeks in the United States. Mm-hmm. It was called Young African Leaders to Show Art in American Society. This scholarship, it opened to me a windows to the museum world. During this scholarship, I knew what the museum is, what the galleries are, and I got a lot of information, and we were about 14 young African professionals, not only in the museum field, with artists, art criticals, journalists, and I was the only one who was archaeologist. So, and sculpture, painters. We were a good group, and we were friends until today. We are all of us are friends. It's amazing that all of this group really became a leader in their fields in each country. When I came back, and it was announcing for the job for the head of the administration of the Nubian Museum, I applied for this. And then I interviewed by the international committee. I have knowledgeable. I was knowledgeable about the museum field after the scholarship. I was telling about my dreams, my feeling, what I saw in US and in its museums. And I was selected because I have a forward plan to establish a new museum. So my career changed dramatically from the field work to the museum field. Really, my work in the field of museum also it's polished by an external training program given to some senior museum staff by UNESCO and supervised by ICOM, International Council of Museums, in some of the European and United States museum for 6 months training program. This training program added a lot to my knowledge about the museum and the museum field and opened my mind to the another world of the museum and museum needs and museum future. So we came back from this program, and we are so it was like us an appetite to go and to work a lot to establish a new museum with an international fisher. As a group of senior staff, we came back and worked together, and the first thing we learned, and we were so willing to do, to work as a teamwork. We worked together and established all the departments of the museum and started to select our collection, just come from 1994 until we opened the museum in 1997.
So it was over
a
3-year period.
To the building of what? Yes.
And you were very heavily involved with the selection of the objects.
Yes, and all the steps of the museum, all of us, our team was responsible, and we were so lucky because the our boss, they were trusting us and gave us an opportunity to do what we liked.
Yes.
And we did it in a way, I think they like it, and also we were so happy to do things we learned. But to do it in our fish, in our characteristics. We learn it from many museums we've seen from our training, but we do it on our recipes.
And I think you can see that very much in the displays as well. That comes across that it's very much sort of passion for the subject matter rather than just choosing objects and putting them in cases.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. This was one of our objectives.
And do you think that's because you are a Nubian? That you feel that strong connection to the museum objects and your collections?
Yes, this played a great role in that. You know, I have a connection with an object both emotional and scientific.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, this added a lot.
Mm.
You know, when you have this kind of connection in a spiritual way and scientific way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, yeah, you know, that we were working on such thing, you know, that's my colleague asked me, yeah, we do think this object to related to our project. I see, you know, from first thing, I see this object call me, yes, I am in place.
Yeah.
Some others say, no, I am not here. You know,
yeah.
This feeling is not come a lot, but it's come just you have, because you have such kind of emotional.
A real connection to the object.
Yeah.
And was it deliberate to show both ancient and modern Nubian culture together in the museum as a continuity?
Yeah, this is a continuity. It was a difficult to get. You know, this one of our task today. You know, it's so easy to establish a Nubian exhibition anywhere in the world, but in the country of origin. You know, we were dealing with such objects, it's still in use in Nubian houses, in the Nubian traditions. And also, during your exhibition, you have to determine between to exhibit the people as a source of pride or a source of primitive.
Yes.
You know, this streets, we have to keep it. Okay. We were so sensitive dealing with such topic. You know, when you exhibit such item in the country of origin, we were dealing with such item to for the Nubian diorama, which exhibits the Nubian daily life. We ask Nubian, we ask them, I asked their opinion. What do you like to be exhibit? What do you like to show the world?
Yes.
On your, about your images, about your heritage. Mm-hmm. My background may be completely different from others, but I asked them, I know their answers, but I said that may I am, you know, I'm wrong. May their view is different, I think, from my scientific point of view, from museological point of view. Mm-hmm. So I asked a group of Nubians from different backgrounds. And I told them, what do you like to be or show you to the world? The main answer was that they asked us, the museum, to be a clean mirror to reflect our heritage in a bright, the way they be brought. So we worked on this and we asked them to establish such a model. And objects, we have new one item from a store of objects in a museum before opening. One item. So we asked them, we made a campaign among Nubian villages. And we asked them, we are going to build a new museum, and this museum will exhibit your daily life in the store. We asked you, if you have such items, may you can donate to them. I couldn't tell you. They opened their houses to us and said, select what you like. And one day we went to the house was closed, just it not opened since 1964. And this house they don't live here in Aswan, they live in Cairo. But when they resettled, they brought out all their heritage items and stored in this house, and they close it and look at it.
So it's like a small museum.
It's just a store, but it's, I don't know what they were feeling at that time. The owner of this house, he came from Cairo, and when he knows that, and opened his house, he said, put all of this to the museum. Mm-hmm. All of this object, given to the museum.
And other communities.
And this is the main source of our Nubian collection.
And the communities are still involved with the museum,
yes,
very
course,
heavily.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah. This was from the beginning we established a friendship between us and the community. And this was so kind from the people and also to the museum to establish such kind of relationship between the people. And we were so proud their object in the museum. And we asked them to make a portrait for Nubian faces. Just we would like to select for the image of the Nubian sculpture on the dioramas. They came by hundreds just to photograph or to take, profile photos. And this made by an English company in England, and we took all of these photos together, and I went there and there were amazing, huge amount of photos we have from kids, young, adults, old people. And we select just different features from each one. We don't select exact ones. we select some items, nose from someone, ears from someone, lips and cheek, you know. But anyone can go ahead and say, I know this man, but he couldn't recognize who is.
And could you explain to me, and for the people that are watching this, what is a Nubian? How would you define a Nubian today?
Yeah, they and Isaac have a Nakaidot. That is official. I will tell you. Nubian. As a Nubian, most of Nubian, they are so proud they are a Nubian, because they believe if they don't have any educational background, they are a source of the civilization in Africa. I don't know from where they get it, but they have this feeling, and they insist to say it in their own talking. Nubians are the inhabitants of this region, the south of Egypt, north of Sudan, since the evidence we have more than 10,000 BC. So they are really the first man in the region. And from them, the main source of all Egyptian civilization has been generated, and African as well. Nubian, in my opinion, are the Nubian of today. The strategical storage of the human kind. Of the early human kind. He didn't lose his own passion and his own love to all the world, and his willing of the peace and the tolerance.
And it's funny, because it seems that in sort of popular culture and also academics, they tend to give more emphasis to Egypt rather than Nubia, which is earlier, and as you said, it's the source of Egyptian civilization. Why do you think that's the case?
Yeah, you know, it's also all, yeah, this also comes from the scientific resource as well. You know, as we learn, the main source of the Egyptian civilization, it comes from south. Mm-hmm. You know, in the early prehistory, you know, Nubia was more advanced than Egypt. You know, and Egypt just, you know, go one forward, one step forward, later on by the discovery of the language. So Nubia come behind after them, but before that, you know, Nubia was advancing, and later on Egyptian were advancing by the discovery of the Egyptian language.
And do you see the people of those two cultures as the same people?
Yes, they are. They are the same people. They are the same people, and the Nubian are the same source of the Egyptian civilization. You know, but it was thousands of years BC, and this Egyptian names to describe it, but because the Egyptians have discovered the language, this language belonged to Egyptians.
Yes.
It was not in the north, never not in the south. You know, it's like you can say, We have a family with two sons. One educated, one not. So the educated one, they thought that became an Egyptian. Not educated one, he still became a Nubian. But they all came from the same father.
Yeah, that's a great way of putting it. Actually, it really is. Modern Nubians in Egypt, are they the same as the Nubians in Sudan?
Yes, of course. They have some, they have a relationship, and they are, most of them are related, relatives also.
And could you explain a little bit about the Aswan Dam and what impact that had on Nubian people?
Yes. You know, not only Aswan Dam, we have all dams also. Nubia has affected negatively by the great projects in Egypt and in Sudan as well. You know, in Egypt, the idea of to store water, it was came from the early periods. The ancient Egyptian, the ancient Nubians also, they were willing to have this, but they do it by their own source they have, and they store the water they need for the next season. By the end of the 19th century, the idea to store water comes more more and more realistic to be done, and the Egyptians start to build in small barrage or dams across the Nile. It was not quite enough to store quantity of water they need for each season. So they sought to build a dam in Aswan, just kind of store water for the needs of Egypt for each season. So in 1894, the idea comes to establish Aswan Old Dam. This old dam will cover by its small lake, meaning Nubian villages, and also some archaeological sites. This, a survey made earlier, to the build of the dam, but there is no survey made to know how many Nubian will be submerging or sinking. Yes, there are many Nubian villages. They were submerged. They have to leave their homeland and, you know, and go further north and build their own small village around Aswan city by their own. No any mission by the government at that time. They not be back their lands, their homes. They build their own homes in the area north of the Aswan Dam. The village that known like Barbis Hill, Garour, Shalal, all of this built after 1902. This was the first resettlement. And then the high dam elevated twice in 1912 and in 1933. On all of this elevation, it's caused a lot of water to submerge some Nubian village. And they have to move with no any support from the government in that time. So, you know, Nubian affected negatively by such of dams. And later on in the 60s, the idea to build a big dam and to store a huge amount of water behind, this makes high dam. It's the killer of the lower Nubian society. So about 44 villages has been resettled. In that time, it was a little, you know, supported by the government. The government built a new villages by the same names of all village, 44 village, but it was away further north to Kumumbo, about 45 kilometers north of Aswan. And in these villages, they build a concrete building. It's not related to the type of the Nubian architecture, but anyhow, the Nubians like to design it. When the Nubian resettled there, they were promised they have a new land, new education, there'll be school and electricity, and they were promised that they are going to paradise. And when they were there, they were shocked. It was a desert. The land was not reclaimed yet, and it was more shocking they filmed this away from the night.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, this was a big shock. The Nubian are related to Zanai. Zanai, it's like a lifeblood for them. But when they felt themselves away from Zanai, most of all people were dead by the nostalgia. The sick of the nostalgia to old Nubia and old Nubian atmosphere and environment. Yeah, this was a big change in community, Nubian society, in the mean of the preservation of its heritage.
And it still seems to affect Nubians today very much in talking to people.
Yes, of course. Yes, of course. And also, it's separate the Nubian from their own source, from their own environment. And this was the main, and enrooted them from their own heritage, from their own land. You know, this was so shocking for the old people who lived their own, all their life along the Nile and the Nubian atmosphere and landscape. For the young also, they now feel they are rooted, they are, they don't know to whom they are belong, to the Nubian they don't see, or to the place they born in.
And was your family affected by the building of the dam directly?
Yeah, we are affected, you know, because we are immigrated in 1902.
Right, okay, so
the earlier village.
Yeah.
Immigrated from the old Nubia. Mm. But, you know, it's more than 100 years now, you know, but we are affected by one another.
I've noticed looking around the Nubian villages that the house decoration is very different to the traditional house decoration that you show here, and the decorations of the houses that were lost, obviously when the last dam was built in Sudan. You don't seem to get people using plates, for instance, on the outside of buildings anymore.
Yeah.
Is that an impact? Is that because people just didn't want to decorate their new houses?
You know, the people, they feel they are separated from their own heritage, you know? This is a feeling, you know, they decorated and they got some items. It has its texture and its relationship between them and the spiritual feeling of their house. You know, the Nubian house, for the Nubian people, it was like a temple. The not only place to live, it's a place you relate you to the God. You know, yeah, so they decorated not for their life being, but, you know, for the afterlife being as well. So when they decorate by the white dishes, this is the sun comes and, you know, this relationship between Ra, you know.
Yes, so that's the continuity from the past again.
Yes, that's, but it's not anymore, this kind of relationship, you know. This relationship between the houses and the Nubian feeling and the spiritual, it's enrooted because they left the atmosphere. They were building such kind and decorated such kind of buildings at that time.
And the language, is that being lost?
Yes, of course, the language also is going to be a disappear, you know. You know, my language is a mother tongue. It's a mother language, you know. If we don't have a Nubian speaking mother, we will never learn. Never. So, if the young girls lose the language, that means there's no generation who speaks language anymore. So, you know, they move from the place, they educated in schools, and they losing the language from the grandmother and mothers now, dies, and then
lost.
And also now Nubian are not married for Nubian as all days.
Right.
But now we have non-Nubian mothers, that means we have no language speakers.
So the language is passed down through the mother?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, the mother, yes, the language passes through mothers.
And a lot of black British people and African Americans come to Aswan in search of Nubians, and they see a connection to Nubia themselves. How do you think people here feel about that?
The people feel okay with that, you know, they are feeling that we have a brother in our roots. We are belonging to the same continent. And we are women are so proud because they are a source of the civilization in the continent. So they feel so proud. Their brother in the continent returned back to Nubia and belonged himself to the Nubian culture and Nubian civilization. They appreciate that. And we have a very good cooperation with some Nubian villages and black African American and I don't know no African British anymore, but we have so great protocols and sister cities between Nubian villages and some African American cities.
Oh, that's really good.
And communities, yes.
Yeah. And finally, I think, when we went yesterday to the south, we noticed a lot of naturally formed pyramids in the Wadi. Do you think they were there thousands of years ago when the Nubians moved into Egypt? And do you think that could have influenced the development of pyramids in northern Egypt?
Yeah, I think so. You know, if you see the natural mounds in the shape of pyramids, mm-hmm. I think this was the main source for the ancient Egyptians. When they live here, they took this image with themselves to the mounds.
There's such a strong image, and there are so
strong
many
images. Yeah, you can use it. You know, it's a strong image. And when Nubian being dominant, also they build their own pyramids in Meroe, as you know.
Yeah.
So this idea comes. It's not reflect from the ancient Egyptian pyramids in Giza, but this is their own,
yes.
Because this belongs to their own natural and landscape.
Mm-hmm.